Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here, getting you ready for the Survivor Know-It-Alls post-finale edition with Stephen Fishback and Sophie G. Clark. They'll be back together as I am going to be headed over to the taping of the Survivor Ghost Island finale, so I'm very excited about that. I'll have interviews with the final six and eventual winner of the show, and hopefully we'll have those posted for you late night Wednesday, early Thursday morning with the video up on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Before I throw it over to Stephen and Sophie, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at canvaspeople.com. You guys have heard me talking about Canvas People. What are you waiting for to give it a try? Take your favorite photo, go to canvaspeople.com, upload it, select the 11 by 14 size, and you can get a canvas work of art sent to you for $0 pricing. You just pay the shipping and handling. It's a great deal. I've heard from so many of our listeners that have been so happy with how easy it was and the results that they got from canvaspeople.com. It's the perfect way to commemorate any occasion: Father's Day, graduation, Survivor finale day, Stephen Fishback's wedding coming up. Whatever it is, canvaspeople.com has got you covered. And take your memories that you've got on your phone or on your camera and turn those into something that you can look at on your wall. They are a $69.99 value for that 11 by 14 canvas photo. It's yours for free. You just pay the shipping and handling. I know that you're going to be very happy with the results. So use this coupon code RHAP today to get your own 11 by 14 Canvas People print for free. Just pay the shipping and handling and you will get it at canvaspeople.com. You're going to love what you make at canvaspeople.com.
The smartest guys around. We're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Okay, we're live on the Survivor Know-It-Alls season finale of the Know-It-Alls. We've got Rob Cesternino is off at the actual finale itself, hobnobbing with the glitterati, doing exit interviews right now with the big winners and losers of the Survivor finale. But I'm holding it down. I'm the one who actually cares. I'm still here in my apartment holding it down with our special guest, Sophie Clark, who's been a recurring finale guest. So welcome, Sophie, to the Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Thank you. This is so exciting. What a great episode to do. I feel like Rob's, 12 episodes this season don't even equal to me getting to do this one.
This is the best episode.
I feel like as the finale guest, I am like an equal part of the Know-It-Alls.
Yeah, I don't feel that way, but I'm glad you feel that way. And yes, probably the second best episode of the season, certainly one of the top few after that incredible merge episode. But, great, stunning twist. We're going to be breaking it all down tonight with Sophie Clark. The big question of the night, big news headline of the night, is Wendell Holland as the winner of this season. What do you think?
You know what? I'm excited by it. I wanted him to win. I think most of the second half of the season, I got on the Wendell train. But to be honest, I had a slight change of heart about halfway through this episode. I felt like Wendell played Survivor in a way that, like, watching him, he felt like a winner. Like, it felt right that his natural destiny in this show would be to win, right? You watch some people and you're like, that's just not like a winner type of person. I feel like watching Wendell was like watching Kim for me. He was so authentic. He was so true to himself. He had his own unique way of playing. But then when we got to the final tribal council, I just felt like he like tried to fit himself into a box that wasn't Wendell. And I would say that during the final tribal, I switched sides and feel like Dominic was the embodiment of Survivor. So I'm like trying to get myself back on the Wendell train. But
that's really interesting. I agree with you that Wendell did not have a great Final Tribal. Maybe we should start there, just talking about that Final Tribal, where this rivalry that or this partnership that we'd seen all season finally came to a head. What did you think? So say why you didn't feel Wendell had a great final and why Dom did have a great final.
Sure. I took so many notes during final, and I also kept pausing the DVR to in frustration during this thing. So first of all, I felt like Wendell tried to play on Dominic's terms.
Right.
So there was even a moment. So Wendell throughout the show, I think what's incredible about him is not only was he strategic, but he was just like a really nice guy. And I think that Survivor should reward nice people, right? Like how amazing that these two guys made the same strategic moves and yet Wendell got away with making more friends and being more likable. Like I think that's something that should be valued. And, you know, he had loyalty. Like he showed his loyalty to Laurel. He was able to both play the game and be a really nice human being, which I think is incredibly difficult and should be rewarded. But instead of making that clear to the jury and just being the same Wendell that he had been, being the same, like, two moments stand out to me. One is there was a moment when Dominic defined like what Survivor was, and he defined it on his terms. Dominic was like, Survivor is a game that's cutthroat. And instead of Wendell like reframing the conversation and being like, Survivor's different for all of us. And Survivor to some of us means friendship, and to other of us it means loyalty. And like to me it meant X. Instead, he tried to like continue. He was like he was much more aggressive in the tribal council than he'd ever been the whole season. He kept like trying to beat Dominic at Dominic's game, which is never what Wendell's going to be able to do. So that was my main issue with Wendell. It just happened over and over again. There was even a moment when Chris was like, you know, well, loyalty's not going to win it for me. It doesn't mean anything to me. And he kind of like changed his tune. Whereas instead, I felt like he should have just been authentic Wendell and been like, I get that. Like we all, different things matter to us. And to me, like loyalty is really important. But that I think would have earned a lot of respect.
I think that's a really great point. I also thought Wendell did not have a great final tribal council. Certainly at the start of the final tribal where he, you know, they were, where Chris asked, who's the mastermind? And Wendell said, I'm the mastermind. I was the one who was running things. And Dom seemed to have much more authentic answers. Dom was saying, there's no mastermind. Dom was saying, hey, you guys fooled us. Like you got one over on me, you know? And I thought that seemed to be, I thought Dom really had a lot of the momentum going in, you know, into that moment. But I did think Wendell kind of recovered at a certain point in the final tribal where, and maybe it was it when the shit, I can't keep track of like what outwit means and what outplay means and what outlast means. But at a certain point, Wendell started talking about his social game and he started saying, you know, I tried to be myself out here. I tried to bring all the weird disparate pieces of me, someone who's a lover and who's, you know, somewhat smart, you know, and who does these other things. So it seemed to me like he kind of got better as that final tribal went on.
I totally agree. First of all, I agree with you about the mastermind thing. Like I paused the TV before Dominic said that. And I was like, the answer here is there was no mastermind. That is the only answer to that question. Okay. But back to Wendell's thing. I think you're right. I think in the beginning of this episode, he is a social player, right? He should get credit for that. I think in the beginning of the episode, he was trying too hard for that credit, right? There was two moments. There was the moment when he like unabashedly took, what was the older woman's name called?
Angela
unabashedly took Angela and Seb to that reward, which was obvious jury pandering. Right. And then he had that whole speech in front of the jury about Laurel. And so I feel like in the beginning, he was like trying too hard to tell people how social he was. And I feel like the best social players don't need to tell. Right.
Right.
Like they're able. It just comes out. If you're telling people, you're not doing it well. But I agree that there was some. And so it's really hard in a way to like, it's easy to brag about your strategic game. You sort of list them off. But when you brag about your social game, you start to list off conversations you have. And people are like, dude, like, great. Like, you remember, like, then it immediately becomes inauthentic when you do that. So I agree. I thought the line he had about like, I'm a lover, like things like that, that worked much better for him.
Yeah. And it seemed to be like the language, like Sebastian kept saying, I'm a lover too. So it seemed like being a lover was somewhat important out there, but I agree with you. It actually made me think of Chrissy last season that, you know, when Wendell was saying that he, you know, had conversations with Dez about, you know, Chance the Rapper. I think it was like, you know, Dez was like, I'm not going to vote for you because we had a conversation about that. But it reminded me of Chrissy. I think she was saying to Joe Mina last season, you know, and we talked about your issues with whoever it was, his girlfriend. And Joe was like, oh, okay, you know, it didn't really affect him. Yeah. And it actually reminded me a little bit of Albert, your season with, what was it? There was like some massage that he like gave Cochran a massage or something, not like, or he like treated him to a massage, and it seems like pandering in a way that like wasn't authentically Wendell. And I do wonder if some of that was that he got worked up by this competition with Dom, you know, and it felt like he tried, you're right, like he was trying to match Dom and play Dom's game, where, you know, when, and certainly that was, we saw that with that big tribal council that Sebastian was voted out, that we'll talk about, where, you know, Dom puts on those two idols, and then Wendell's like, and I've got some idols too, you know, I've got jewelry.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's hard though, right? Like, I think I'm not a social prowess, but I can imagine that if I was, like, it must be a fine line to walk, because it's truly hard, right? Especially making your case at the end. And how do you do that in a way that's authentic if your case is social? And I thought that one idea I had when watching this was that it's hard, I think, if your game is social, to just talk about yourself. But I wonder if Wendell had done a little bit more of like, hey, like, this is the way Dom played.
Right.
Like, that's not me. Like, yeah. Dom, he like, you know, got in people's faces. Like, instead of talking about how he was so nice, I think if he instead had just talked about how Dom played a game that wasn't authentic for him, it might have come off a little better.
And he did sort of hit some of those points towards the end where he said, you know, Dom is the Dom show, and I was going to let him do that because he was being hurtful to people. I mean, let's talk about Dom's performance here, because it seemed like, I honestly felt like it was a little bit that, and you know, tell me if you agree or disagree, that some of the people were voting for Dom because they loved his strategy, and other people were almost voting against Dom because they did feel like he was too aggressive and that they were hurt by his strategy. Not that they were necessarily bitter, because Wendell obviously played an amazing game, and you'd be happy to write down Wendell's name, you know, in almost any season. Just that Dom's edge seemed to really alienate people. Do you think Dom played it well or as best as he could, or was there anything else he could have said here?
At the final, that's a good question. This is a season I wish Jeff had asked people a little bit more about their votes. I'd be really curious to know if votes changed during that tribal. I have to think they did, because I think that the jury usually has a sense of which way things go. And so I'm curious to know if Dom won or lost votes. I don't have that many critiques of Dom's performance. I think that, you know, like, he was super true to himself this whole game. He was like a little Tony-esque in his, right, like, do what it takes to get by, be aggressive, be showy. I think there was actually, I think his, one of his best moves was the one that we saw today with the fake idol. Like, that was incredible, right? Like, that showed guts, and it was successful. And I felt like he didn't quite get enough credit for that. Like, he was being attacked a little bit for his showmanship there. And I think he could have instead chosen that opportunity. So disappointed that you guys saw me as an asshole. I'm not an asshole. I feel like he could have taken that opportunity to, like, dig deeper and, like, yes, like, it was a show, and it was a hard show. Like, I put on a show. Yeah. I think he didn't give himself a breath enough to, like, step back from the questions and I feel like he was trying to answer each question rather than, like, frame himself up as a, like, I was a showman. Like, I know at times that came off as that, like, being an asshole, but that was the way I was going to get by.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it seems like season after season, that's the thing we always say, is that, you know, you have to, don't think about, like, just responding to a specific question, but try to like answer what the jurors are ultimately, like, what they need to hear almost. The one thing we also say is that people should always play, people should try to own up to their game at the final tribal. Yeah. And Dom did that. Like, Dom did that as much as anybody. But one thing he didn't do, which is apologize. Do you think that there is, like, was there, like, more of an apology he could, you know, he kind of explained, this was an act, I was like playing this up to have a goal, but he didn't really sort of say I am so sorry. And maybe he uttered the words I'm sorry, but there didn't seem to be any sincere mea culpa from him. And, you know, we often find that, I mean, could there have been that? Would that have helped? Hard to say.
I think so. Like, I even think back to my own season, and I think one of the things the jurors liked about me is that I showed that I was, like, listening to them. Right. I had this moment of recognition of, like, you guys are all telling me that I was a certain way. And like, there was a moment before even I responded to it of just acknowledging that that's the way that they felt, like whether or not that was true. And if I had an answer and they were wrong, like just the acknowledgement that that's how I made people feel. And I felt like he jumped right into the, this is why I had to do that,
right,
rather than just do the like, wow, like I'm sorry I made you guys feel that way. Like, right, I thought I was playing a game. It sounds like I was doing more than that. It sounds like I went overboard. Right?
Yeah, he was trying to excuse himself rather than, yeah, I think you're exactly right. And it, so it always came off sounding like he was giving justifications. Even, I mean, that is what he said.
It was worth it. I'm here. Like, didn't it all work out in the end? Like, I had to be a showman. Instead of being, I had to be a showman and be like, whoa, like I thought I needed to do that to win. Like I thought that was all game and it wasn't. Like it hurt. He never did that.
That's a great point. Here's an interesting fact. The first half of the jury all voted for Dom. That was Chris, Libby, Dez, Jenna, and Michael. And the last half of the jury all voted for Wendell. That was Chelsea, Kellen, Sebastian, Donathan, Angela, and then ultimately Laurel, of course, as well. What do you make of that? Like, what does that mean about how the jury was voting or like what their gameplay, you know, signified?
That's super interesting. Was there any split tribal there, or was that really was the first half much more Malolo and the second half more Navidi?
So it's Chris, Libby, Dez, Jenna, and Michael. So we do have Libby, Jenna, and Michael who are all Malolos, but then you also have Chelsea, Kellen, Sebastian, Donathan, Angela, and Laurel. So you also have Sebastian and Laurel who are Malolos. Donathan and Laurel. Of course, the Donathan and Laurel relationship is a little bit different with Wendell and Dominic. I mean, maybe like Wendell's game emerged more in that second half. You know, that is when he won his two immunities. You know, that is when he played his idol. You know, maybe there was a sense, you know, we certainly see in season after season that, you know, timing and kind of like when your game hits its stride is so meaningful. Maybe Wendell just like really seemed to peak at that last half.
Yeah, I also think that Wendell like emerged as a bigger threat later. Like Dominic Wright had a battle from the beginning with Chris. And so I think people who only played with him early, like still knew Dominic as a battler and he didn't really change, right? He had to battle the whole way. Whereas Wendell, I'd imagine that potentially if you played with him early, he didn't have that target on his back. And I think it was only the people at the end who were able to see like how he navigated that target, especially in contrast to Dominic, right? Like it was only towards the end where they were this like real duo and we're playing the same game and yet we're playing it in a different way, in a way that's like dramatically visible.
I mean, you could also say that it was like a question of time. You know, the people who spend more time with Wendell were the people who voted for him because there was more time for those deep social bonds to develop.
What about being there when he wins challenges? Like, I think that like being defeated yourself. Like that.
Yeah, I know. I do think that you see like an incredible accomplishment and Wendell in those challenges was just amazing. Like he was out front, way in front, you know, he like burned through those puzzles, you know, he passed Sebastian in the one, you know, in the other one, he was not even close to being caught. I do think there's probably an element to that. Just like seeing someone perform at that level is so different than they walk into the immunity into the tribal council with a necklace. You're like, okay, great. He's immune today. Yeah. You know, there's no real sense of, and I think actually, I mean, we talked about this a little bit at the end of last season too, with Ben's win and why it mattered so much more than Chrissy's win is because the jury gets to see those idol plays. Whereas Chrissy, you know, she'd won all of her challenges and the jury didn't necessarily see that. And so I do think so much of it is like what the jury is actually perceiving themselves.
Yeah, I agree. So we haven't even mentioned Laurel's name.
Yeah, well, that was my next point. Let's talk about Laurel's game. Now, it seems like you are the perfect person to talk to about this because you are who played this strategy of I'm not going to make any moves. I'm going to stick with this group and I'm going to beat them in the end. Although she didn't ever say she was going to beat them in the end. But she did have this kind of like stick to the plan. Don't make waves. I don't want to rock the boat strategy here.
Fundamental difference, which is one you just like pretended that there was no difference. She did not think she could ever beat them at the end.
Yeah.
Like watching Laurel and like, I think everybody else in this season turned into a Laurel in this episode too. Right. Like I think the fundamental difference, right, between Laurel and myself or Natalie White or anybody you might put in this category is that Laurel for the last five episodes has been saying, I cannot beat these two guys. Right. Which means that, like, when she gets to the final tribal, like, she should just walk off the stage, right? Like, it's one thing for me, like, potentially to be delusional and lose the coach at the end. But, like, I, throughout my game,
right,
truly believed that my path to victory was sitting next to coach at the end.
Yeah.
And I could, if I was wrong, like, then I was wrong and I was, like, delusional. But, like, I was right. And Laurel, like, stuck to a plan that she knew was not going to lead to a victory. So, like, I'm not sure how, like, what the similarity is. But
do you think she had, I'm just trying to, because Laurel's obviously gotten a lot of negativity from the internet. And, you know, it's been very frustrating to watch her, I think, for a lot of us, because we all had such high hopes for her and it really has felt like she's not taking advantage. I'm trying to see it from her eyes. I'm trying to get in there, you know, and do you think that there's any, you know, now that Rob is not here, I've got to take over that mantle from him and be the Laurel advocate. Her point was her speech at tribal council. Did you feel that there was any merit to what she was saying, which was, you know, if I had flipped, that's going to help one of you guys, but I'm not going to, you know, that doesn't help me if I flip.
But I think no, first of all, and I'm glad that you remember what she said because I totally tuned it out. So she was in a situation, I'm sure you and Rob has hashed this over, but she's in a situation where she voices, I know I will not win without Dom and Wendell. So she has 100% chance of losing. And I don't think that we could argue that she truly believed, as you're insinuating in her speech, she was suggesting that she had 100% chance of losing with other people, right? Yeah. She had a unknown, like basically she went with the known second place over the unknown, you know, last place versus first place. In some ways, you can compare, right, to, like, Dominic, right, where in this episode, Dominic had a chance of potentially making fire against Wendell. And in a way, right, like, you might say, okay, there's some similarities here with some of Laurel's decision-making. Let's say Dominic knows that Wendell's going to win that challenge. Like, he knows that nobody's going to be able to beat Wendell in the fire-making unless it's him. Then he's, like, then he's left making a decision about, do I go against Wendell or Wendell in the end? And if he was Laurel in that situation, right? Sorry, now I'm getting convoluted in myself. But the point is that
Dominic made... It's a clarifying analogy.
Dominic made the right... Is it clear? I'm actually confusing myself. I think it's what's a disclarifying, unclarifying. It's totally not clarifying. But the point is if Wendell was a sure bet to win, if Wendell was an Aussie, right? Dominic should have played fire against him in the same way that Laurel should have turned her back on Wendell. But like Wendell was not an Aussie. Wendell was a baby. And so Dominic made the right move in that situation. But given that Laurel the whole time knew that Dominic and Wendell were not babies, they were Aussies, they were definites, she needed to like fucking pull out the stops.
Yeah. No, I think it is useful to think of it as like, if it was one challenge and you knew that competing in that challenge, you know, would maybe lose, but also give you the chance to win. Like, obviously you have to take that
Let
shot.
Let me try another analogy.
Okay, go.
we're workshopping. Yeah. Okay. Laurel is like Albert not picking up my fucking pieces, right?
Right. Okay.
Albert's going to lose. He's dropping every single thing. He can't make a house of cards to save his life. But he like, you know, wants to get second place.
But that would have been
against
the rules.
My pieces.
You can't pick up the pieces.
This analogy might not be working either. Let's move on.
All right. I mean, so it is possible. It is possible that Laurel was just in an unwinnable position. I mean, that is possible in Survivor. You know, we act like there's, you know, everyone can maybe at any point make a move that will somehow get them to the end if they just play it perfectly. That is not always the case.
Yeah, but I don't think Survivor, when you're playing it, every decision is not black and white. It's not a winnable versus unwinnable versus unwinnable. I think if you want to say she was an unwinnable situation, I think she had a 0% chance of winning in one place and a 1% chance of winning in another. And you should still take that difference. You should still go with the 1%.
But you don't
stuck with the zero.
Right.
But I mean, you know, one last defense of Laurel. And again, like, believe me, last week I was the one who was the most anti-Laurel. And I
this
still...
This is some fucking Yale-y bullshit.
Yeah, well, you know, I do feel bad for her because... But I also, you know, I want to, like, give everyone at least, you know, the fair voice. Like, we're seeing the show that is the Dom and Wendell show. We are seeing this edited show that is, you know, where they get all the screen time. They have all the great confessionals. She's not watching that show. She's on an island where she has as many confessionals in her head as they have in theirs. Do you think there's any possible... You don't know...
I know what's in her head. She said 10 times, I cannot beat Dom and Wendell. They talked about the Dom and Wendell show. I think she said in the Final Tribal Council, this has been the Dom show. Wendell said, this has been the Dom... Like, right. It was the Dom and Wendell show.
But maybe...
Once said on TV, Dom and Wendell are going to beat me. I can't beat them. Then I would be like, you know what? Laurel, like, she thought she had a chance. She was going to split the votes. You know, she's a different kind of player. She's under the radar. She knew.
All right. I knew that I was going to lose to JT, but I still in my head was like, well, maybe, you know, like I have this 1% shot and maybe a miracle happens. Like maybe I say the perfect thing that flips the perfect number of votes, you know, and maybe she felt like that 1% shot with Dom. Look, I was very irritated throughout the season with her. I felt like she squandered chance after chance after chance, but I don't think, you know, I think we hear her saying there's no shot, there's no shot, there's no shot over and over and over again. I bet she thought she had like a 1% shot.
This is very sweet of you. She's a very sweet girl.
All right, let's move out. Let's move past this and let's talk about that fire making decision where Dominic has the opportunity to give up his immunity, not be an automatic gimme into the final three, and instead go head to head against Wendell. Now, obviously, we know the results. He lost. Easy to say now. Yes, he should have taken that chance. But is there? Can we rewind it all and say, is there any rationale that we can make at the time for him to have done that?
I thought he was going to do it for a moment. I got so twisted, turned, because I thought he was going to do it. And then there was a moment in the final tribal before the final tribal where I actually thought he was going to take Wendell because he had like some weird turn of phrase. And you can see the jury also think that. I don't know if he should have done it. I do think anyone else would have done it. Like, I'm trying to think, like, would Tony have made this move? Like, is there a survivor pair? Because Dom is a bold effing player. Like, right. I'm trying to think of, is there any survivor player who would have made this move? How crazy is this move? Right. Like, I think of Ozzy. You know what? I think Ozzy would have made that move.
I think if
somebody
you,
with a little more confidence.
You, and I think it would really have to be a sure bet that the person was going to win that fire challenge. You know, the thing is, like, those fire challenges, like, we often see the person who's, you know, theoretically the most skilled at fire. I mean, Devin lost last season, right? And Devin was like the big fire starter all season. So it's never a sure bet. I think the no brainer is here. You got to just go to final three. I mean, unless like you're positive you're going to lose if he makes it, and you're positive he's going to make it.
I agree. And I think you're right. I think he couldn't have done the fire making challenge. And I think we don't know everything that's going on there, but it seems like given that it was 5-5, right? Like it was super close. I imagine they didn't have a great sense of who was going to like win or not win. I think if you think it's a toss up, you can't take him on.
Yeah.
But whoa. Also, I will say about the fire making challenge. I think last season we probably talked about what did we think. I don't remember where both of us landed. I think I was like less cool with it.
Were more cool with it.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Aren't I chill? No, this season I actually was super cool with it. Mostly because I liked that they all knew that it was coming in advance. I thought they made the game fundamentally different, right? Like Wendell Dominic could criticize Laurel for not practicing. Like you knew this was coming. Laurel also, it meant that like it makes her non-moves even more absurd because she knew she was going to give them a chance to make fire at the end. Like I thought that the fact that, right? Like if they did not know this was coming and Dominic lost the game because suddenly Wendell got to make fire, right? Like that would have been a travesty, I think, end of this season.
Right. No, that's Dominic what happened last season.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I have a very short memory. Yeah. But like, I feel like, what are you? Would you have been happier? Would you have been pissed if that had been the outcome, like similar to last season? Or do you think feel like this was the better outcome that Wendell got to win his way back?
Well, what I thought was cool about it, and I, you know, America hates this fire making challenge. So speaking in defense of this fire making challenge is going to, you know, I'm sure my Twitter mentions are lighting up now. What I thought was cool about it was that if the fire making challenge were not there, that this was an easy Wendell vote. Wendell's just going home. You know, Dom's got immunity, easy vote, no drama. You know, nobody is voting to keep Wendell around. And instead we end up having this really dramatic finish, the first ever tie, this, you know, in the history of the show, Wendell, you know, ultimately wins the game. And I thought that was cool and this was what the point of it, right? Was that that person who was the easy final four vote has a chance to win their way, you know, back into the game. And like, to your point, this was something that they were talking about all season long. Now, what wasn't cool about it was how it affected the strategy all season long, because it doesn't put as much pressure on these alliances to turn on each other earlier when they know, oh, hey, we've got a final four fire making challenge. You know, we can just agree to go to four, let the chips fall where they may. So, yeah. You know, you have these foursomes that don't have the same obligation of like trying to figure out their place in the hierarchy. And obviously one of the things that was so frustrating about this season was that nobody was turning on anybody else. You know, they don't have the same incentive with this fire making challenge because they don't have to really secure that final three.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's right. I also think though, for me, visually and like mood wise, it felt right. Like last season, it was like this twist. This season, it felt like, how has this not been part of the show the entire time? Like, this just feels right. That survive, you should have to win your way through fire. Like, it just felt, I almost forgot that it was a new twist. Like, it just felt a part of the canon already. Like, I am all in on the Survivor Making Challenge. Wow. One thing I'm going to ask you though, with your comment about like the fact that all season, this thing about like how the fire making challenges changes the alliance and how you can like work towards the final four now and say that let your chips fall where they may. I feel like this season, more than any, there was this phenomenon of like people having a lot of quote ammunition.
Yes.
And people, that ammunition lasting a super long time. And I'm trying to think of it, like, how is that going to change the game going forward? This idea that, like, basically these two guys just won because they terrified people with a pocket full of idols. And, like, are idols now going to become, like, I think they're going to become even more dangerous for the person holding them. Because early in the game, I think people are going to be like, we can't let this person, like, become the, you know, the loaded cannon that Dom and Wendell were.
I mean, I hope that that's the reaction, but like that was not what this season played out. To your point, like a lot of the reason nobody turned on Dom and Wendell, and this was the next thing I wanted to talk about with you, you know, the state of advantages in Survivor now. A lot of the reason nobody turned on Dom and Wendell was because they had this nebulous fear. They're going to have something in their pockets. They're going to have something up their sleeves. You know, we heard people saying that exact thing, that they were really scared of what Dom and Wendell might do at any given point, because there was that sense that they always came loaded. And, you know, they did.
Go ahead. It was this insane thinking, though. Like, why was there never a moment where they were like, okay, we're scared now. If we're scared today, we're going to be scared tomorrow. And if we're scared tomorrow, like, when does this end? Like, it's because you're playing with a bunch of idiots. Like, honestly, watching this show tonight felt like, okay, two announced. One, it felt like watching those Home Alone villains, you know, like where everybody, like Dom and Wendell were like, what is it, Richie Rich or whatever his name is, the little kid. What's his name?
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, they were Macaulay Culkin, and everybody else was like fucking idiot. Sorry, I'm swearing a lot. Home Alone people, like trying to come up with these like crazy plans, and instead like just hitting themselves in the head with paintball, like with paints or whatever.
Yeah.
The other thing reminded me of was like, you know how, do you ever play Risk online when you were little?
No, I mean, I played Risk with people.
Okay, so you can play Risk online, and sometimes other people will join the game, but you can also just like add computer players.
Yeah.
You know, you can like, remember those like old school computer games where it's like you add like the evil player and you add the like stupid player. Like,
okay, yeah. You can choose like, their the level of skill. Yeah.
It felt like Dom and Wendell were like the only two humans playing the game, and they had like selected all of these like, let's play with like the older blabbermouth, and like let's play with like Hick who just says words, and like and they were all just like Roombas kind of like going across the screen, and like Dominic went like, it was like apps. Like nobody, everybody was like just hitting a wall in either direction.
But do you not think that's to their credit to a certain degree? Like, I agree that a lot of the play that was not the Dom and Wendell play was very bad. But isn't that to the credit of Dom and Wendell that they were able to eliminate the good players, keep the bad players? And, you know, like someone like Kellen was very smart. Dom voted out Bradley, right? If Dom hadn't voted out Bradley before the merge, like the whole power structure of that post-merge group would have been very different.
Maybe, but I don't know. I was kind of thinking of One World when I was watching this this episode particularly.
Yeah.
And I feel like kind of two guys playing against idiots and Kim playing against idiots. I think the difference is that Kim, the way she won was she like manipulated those idiots to do what she wanted. Like in this case, Dom and Wendell didn't even have to manipulate them. They just like ran into each other. Like in Kim's case, like nobody even recognized that she was so great because she was like basically, you know, holding all the puppets. Like Dom and Wendell were not... They weren't doing that.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I really do think we saw a few examples of them being really smart socially, you know, certainly with the way that they brought Laurel in, you know, with the way that they, you know, treated Sebastian. Obviously, Dom had some relationship with Angela where she runs and in the most frustrating moment in TV history, she runs and blabs this like secret blindside plan to him. And I think also they really encouraged that sense that they always had stuff up their sleeves. You know, Wendell made his fake idol. You know, they were always sort of displaying this sense of, we've got all this kind of crazy stuff. It was like Tony with his bag of tricks. You never knew what he was going to pull out. And they really like played up that fear.
Maybe, but I just feel like so many of their moves were like they did something great, but it was a lot of idiocy on the other side as well.
No one's going to debate that. I feel like after this season, no one can debate that. It was a very, very frustrating season, I think, for a lot of fans as we watched like opportunity after opportunity be squandered. And it wasn't like we wanted Dom, at least for me, it wasn't like I wanted Dom and Wendell to lose. I wanted them to win, but I wanted them to win against real opposition. I wanted like actual challenges, you know, and I did want a blindside. I wanted one of them to be eliminated by a blindside, the other have to kind of like scramble. Because one thing, you know, that they both had this entire game was they were always in a dominant position. Naviti, you know, through a lot of great luck, just through always had the numbers on all of the swaps tribes. Then they had a tremendous advantage at the merge. They certainly Wendell was immune, I think, in almost, you know, up until the merge, except for one tribal council. And as a result, they came into the merge in this like really in this catbird seat of having, you know, a lot of opportunities and then you see these Formalolos and they're like scrounging around for scraps. And I do think position really affects how you play the game. But I want to talk really briefly about the advantage thing, because you sort of hinted at that this like all of these advantages in the game really end up affecting the way players play. Like, are you in the too many advantages camp?
It's hard because so many of the great, I mean, generally, I'm a classicist I don't know what the official terminology is, but like, yeah. I think I'm much more interested in the way that like different humans with different personalities and different goals interact to come to an outcome. And I feel like advantages kind of force everybody to like play the game in somewhat of a similar way, or like it standardizes like what's good and what's bad a little bit more.
Right.
Like I prefer just me. But I will say that like advantages created like a lot of some of the greatest moments of this season. I'm not sure if I'm going to remember every single one. And I think I've talked about this before, but like I love seasons where it feels like there's this huge, you know, dramatic arc. And if anything about this season, like I'm not going to remember the individual advantages. Like I'll remember about this season is like the Dom and Wendell and right. their pocket full of advantages.
Yeah.
Like not each individual one and what it did or whatever, but just the fact that the overwhelming number like had a massive effect in the game. I can't believe that's going to be sustainable to like keep up this number of advantages. It felt okay for Ghost Island as part of the theme. I think I'll be disappointed if it continues.
Yeah.
Speaking of advantages though, sorry, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
Okay. Speaking of advantages. Okay. So this was my idea watching the show. I don't know if this makes sense. Ready? So Sebastian with his advantage. So this is, I feel like what he should have done. It seems like the fundamental reason that they did not win that or like get Wendell out or Dominic out that vote is because a couple people in that alliance were likely motivated by fear that if Dominic played their idol, they would get idled out.
Correct.
Right. OK,
well, also fear, I think that if they were on the wrong side of the vote, like, you know, Laurel was interested, I think, in voting against Dominic in that situation. But then when it looked like he might have an idol, didn't want to show her hand. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So wouldn't the solution to have this been Sebastian has all the power here where he has the extra vote. If I was Sebastian, don't you go up to, you don't even have to include Laurel in this because you can make it a tie vote. Don't you go up to like Donathan and why do I keep forgetting her name? Angela, and say to them individually, like, hey, I want to do this plan. I also want to let you know, like, I have an extra vote. And so I want to make sure that in case this plan backfires, like, we don't get effed over. So I'm going to play my extra vote, like, on Donathan. We're going to not tell Donathan about it. All of us vote for Dominic. And that way, like, if he plays his idol, oh, no, that wouldn't work, right? No, because it would have been 3-1. Huh. Yeah. See, this is why this is, like, a good brainstorming session. Never mind.
Yeah.
Man, also, like, is
this later? Yeah. No, we'll edit this out. So I want to get into questions in a minute, but, like, really quickly, the Angela boot, was that the right choice for Dom?
Angela, when did she go home?
So Dom chose Angela to make fire rather than choosing Laurel to make fire against Wendell.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think it was, right? Like, in general, I would have more faith in Laurel to just, like, pull anything out, like a victory out, regardless of her, like, beginning strengths. That said, like, it seemed like he had really good rationale for choosing her. At the end, when Laurel chose Wendell, I wondered if that was, like, in the end, the decision that fit him. But it looked like Angela voted for Wendell as well.
So yeah, either way, Angela was voting for Wendell. Although maybe she would have been so touched by Dominic that she would have voted for him. But it doesn't, probably not.
Do you think if Dominic had taken Wendell, he would have lost?
If Dominic had taken Wendell, because then Wendell doesn't make then Wendell doesn't end up, like, making fire and, like, proving himself. I mean, I don't know. I would imagine that no one's making their jury vote based on that. I mean, but it certainly gives Wendell a dramatic moment right before the final tribal council, to really show that he earned his way in there. But it would have been crazy for Dominic to take him. So let's get to some questions. What do you think? Yeah. Okay. All right. First is from Moira.
Sorry. We're going to do the questions. Oh, just one more. What about the rules of the tiebreak? Do we like that rule? Like, I almost felt like a revote would have been nice before they moved right out.
But there was nobody. But, like, if there had been, like, any other votes, if, like, Laurel had gotten two votes or something, then it might make sense. But given that the tie was, you know, evenly split, like, what's the point? I mean, it was okay. There were no other words. All right. Moira Swiatkowski wants to know, we lost Moira. Can we go back? The fire making, the even number jury, the reveal of the tiebreaker rules all seem to lead to an inevitable tie. Did it have the wow factor they hoped for? What do you think, Sophie? Did this have wow factor?
Oh, this had major wow factor. I was like,
This is wow factor.
Okay. My question was, did this happen before or after Jeff described the tie breaking thing?
Yeah, I think he described it as the 34 finale, which I believe would have been, I think that would have been before this filmed, right? Because right now they're going off to film 38. So I believe it would have been before this film, but
I think so too, because I feel like I remembered I thought Chrissy's season, maybe they were going to tie because of that. And then when they didn't, I was like, I guess he was just describing the tiebreaker.
Yeah. I'm sure we will be informed about it in the chat. Okay. Do you want to get this next question?
Sure. I love reading these. Do you, Scott STP, Saint-Pierre. Oh no,
no.
Rebecca.
Stop. Yeah.
Rebecca asks, do you think if Dom did give his necklace to Angela and went head on with Wendell for fire, do you think he would have had a chance? Do you think it is wise? I like word wise. I feel like Dominic did not perform well against Wendell in challenges in general this season. Wendell is incredibly calm under pressure. I think we're, like, a little bit kind of post hoc quarterbacking, but I think it would have been a badass move. I wanted them to do it. I don't think he would have won.
It would have been really cool, but had he not done, I mean, when you're making a decision like that, you have to think, like, if this goes wrong, I'm going to be the dumbest person ever. Like, everyone is going to think this was one of the worst moves in the history of the game. Like, no one will be able to believe this forever. Yeah, and if I lose with the finale, like, then I'm still, you know, a losing finalist, and you know, that's pretty cool. But if I lose, like, by giving up my immunity right before the finale, that is arguably one of the dumbest moves ever. And I wouldn't have actually been one of the dumbest moves ever, certainly arguably. So that had to be going through his head. All right, Jacob Drew. Go ahead.
Go. I'm interrupting a lot.
All right, Jay. No, good. I mean, I'm glad you are. Jacob wants to know, it seems like the strategic players voted for Dom and the social players voted for Wendell. Does this correlation relate well to each player's play style? So going back to the jurors. So the first five jurors who voted for Dom were Chris, certainly more, you know, he respected Dom's play. Libby, we didn't really get to see that much from her, but we certainly heard that she was strategic. Dez, you know, when she went out, we saw that she was strategic. Jenna didn't see very much from her, and Michael, who was very strategic throughout the season. The last five voted for Wendell. We have Chelsea. Who knows? Kellen, Chelsea came off as strategic. Well, Kellen seemed like, you know, a strategic person, but obviously played a lot with her heart/gut. Sebastian, obviously a more social player. Donathan, certainly a social player, had a strategy. Angela, definitely not strategic. And Laurel, I mean, there's something to be said there. What do you think of that breakdown?
Yeah, that breakdown sounds right. And I'm cool with it. Like, I'm all for people voting what matters to them. I don't like this whole push towards there is a rubric to winning Survivor and every jury member should grade the same. Like,
yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Like, there's this sense of like what a great game is and whoever played the most aggressive strategic game, you know, deserves to win. But actually, someone on Reddit said the other day, the jury doesn't reward who played the best game. It determines who played the best game. So I really like that. Yeah, I really like that too. And I like that. I mean, what's exciting about Survivor is the jury deciding every season what matters to them. And, you know, it would be a shame if that element of the game got lost in this sort of like, who made the most big moves kind of insanity. Jennifer wants to know, in your opinion, how did Laurel do in her final tribal answers?
I have no idea. I barely listened to
that. I thought she did well. I thought she did. What could she say? She had no argument to make in that situation. What could she say?
No, she saved face slightly.
Yeah. All right. You want to take the next one?
Can I read one?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, please. The fire building challenge has now two straight winners that would not have otherwise been in the final three. Ooh, fascinating. Do you think this is a format that should continue? Wraps or Survivor Ghost Island? Yes, I do. I am cooler and cooler with the format as long as people know about it. Idols have also produced people who would have never won the show without an idol. I think there are evolutions to the game. I think Jeff Probst is a national hero and we should continue the fire making challenge.
Johnny De Silvera tweeted at me. Do you think if we do continue the fire making challenge, we should make the idols expire at the final six? Cause one thing that was kind of crappy about this season was that, you know, there was no danger. Both Wendell and Dominic had idols. They immediately were going to be in, you know, at a certain point they were immediately going to be in the final four.
It is a good question. I think that if I had to play devil's advocate, and I'm really changing my tune, so I don't know what's going on. I'll probably wake up tomorrow and disagree with everything I've said. But if I had to play devil's advocate, there's always been an opportunity to be safe, right? You can always win the final challenge. And I think that we've all, as viewers, been waiting for somebody who wins out, right? Like, there's always this question, like, is this a guy who's going to win out? And I think that's always been an opportunity to do that through challenges. And so I think my devil's advocate response would be, like, why not let somebody have that opportunity through idols, right? Yeah. Like, if somebody has a couple idols, like, you're then you better think about getting them out earlier. I guess I just think that, like, as the show goes on and on, I think I'm resigned to the fact that the show is changing and there's going to be more advantages and there's going to be more idols. And I don't know, like, the show's already changed so much from Borneo, like, maybe we shouldn't resist it.
Well, here's two points I want to make. And the first is that, you know, the goal of the advantages and the idols and everything is to create drama. And you lose drama when you have five people sitting there and at least three of them are immune. You know, there's no opportunity for politicking at this crucial end game stage. And that's one of the things I don't love about the final four fire making challenge, is that this is a moment when one of the most essential decisions in the game is being made. And it kind of like peters out, like, do I send Andrew? Do I send Laurel? Like, whatever. Wendell's going to win. You know, the goal is for drama. And I also, to a great degree, I feel like the advantages now have gotten to the point where they, and it's sort of what we were talking about before, they are restricting gameplay rather than enabling it, where people are so scared all the time that they are highly incentivized to play really conservatively and really close to the vest because they don't know what crazy thing is going to happen next. And, you know, it could be anything. And I sort of, I had a little bit of I wrote about this a bit in my blog, but just this idea that, like, games, the best games are where there are clear rules and the players have an opportunity to kind of maximize their own gameplay with respect to those rules. But when the rules are always changing, it's really hard for great strategy to emerge from that.
I totally agree. Disregard everything I said before. I think I'm just trying. I'm like trying out a lot of different things.
No, but it's good. This is with most things you say,
but that's right. Yeah.
This is a safe space just to be judged by the thousands of RHEP listeners who will never forgive you. The Jane wants to know, is there any intel on where Stephanie Johnson was tonight? She wasn't at the reunion. No, I didn't know. I mean, I noticed that she wasn't there, but I don't know why.
Huh. Maybe she's pregnant. Let's start that rumor. Who from this cast has the most potential to see?
John Densford is asking.
That's true.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Has the most potential to significantly change their Survivor legacy on a returnee season.
Oh, good question.
I have a gut answer to this. What's your...
No, you go. Give your gut.
My gut answer is Kellen, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. I feel like if Laurel comes back again, she's going to be making every move she possibly can. You know, she's going to be making moves right and left after. But yeah, probably Kellen. Kellen's a good one to really change their legacy.
Laurel is the Julia Landau of this season.
Wow. Vanilla. I love
vanilla ice cream.
Who do you think realistically is going to come back from this season?
Kellen.
And who else? Michael, obviously.
Oh yeah. I'm not sure if I get the Michael thing, but it's probably a good thing because that would be like slightly pedophilic. Do you get it?
Yes. He's so charming. He's like so handsome and so well-spoken and like so self-possessed. Like
he's charming in a very boring way.
Yeah. He's a little bit, but like, you know, he's so self-possessed. He's a really strong player. He played very well. Yeah, I love Michael. All right, Jake M. Larson wants to know, didn't Donathan repeatedly tell Wendell he would vote for Dom in the end, but then he voted for Wendell to win? Was it gameplay or just a strange vote?
Listen, Donathan does what I do. He just tries things out, see how they sound on his lips, says one thing, says another thing, does the other.
Yeah.
Donathan's a sweetie. Yeah. Okay. Forget the Dom giving up his... Tegan Ladner, what a name. Forget the Dom giving up his immunity nonsense. If Dom takes Angela to the final three and Wendell beats Laurel in fire making, Laurel still votes for Wendell, but does Ange vote for Dom because she's not bitter? Dom and Ange were tight before, so would that have sealed it?
I mean, I don't think that's impossible. That would have been a deciding vote, right? Or if I don't think it's impossible, but that's a tough one to say.
I do think there is a bit of like rewarding the person who took you, right? I think Laurel voted for Wendell for other reasons as well, but I think actually that's a good point. I'm sure Angela, right? There's also some money involved.
Yeah.
Going to the final three.
That's true. That is true. That's a tough one though. I mean, hard to really get into Angela's head with this stuff. All right, Kelly Taylor wants to know, not sure if anyone said this yet, but when the results were first read, I immediately thought of Stephen Fishback's refusal / inability to rank these two finalists during the know-it-all 2 weeks ago. You must feel so vindicated. Turns out you made a great call there. Yes, the jury also refused to rank these two finalists.
I felt better. I felt vindicated too, because the whole episode I was saying, Dom's going to win. No one is going to win. Dom's going to win. So I feel like it's only validated that I am a fantastic predictor.
Well, if we're talking about ranks, like tell me what you think of like Wendell's win. Like, is this one of like the really big, great Survivor wins? Like, where does this rank for you? It's an important part of this podcast is ranking things. Where does Wendell's win rank for you among the great Survivor wins?
That's a great question. So I would rank Wendell and Dom as a final two, or basically a final two, as like super high in final twos, right? I think that's a...
They were in a final three, but you know, whatever.
Probably like slightly above the Token Sheen's final two in the level of play in that group.
I actually had this conversation with my fiance earlier, where I said, I'm worried that if both Wendell and Dom make it to the final two, that they're going to be competitive for the best Survivor duo of all time. Yeah. And she was like, it may be time to pass the torch. Like, you can let that go now. It's been 10 years.
Well, I think you may need to pass that torch.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would rank that highly. Wendell, and I might be unfair, but I think it's probably just because of his hair potentially. But I put Wendell a bit in the category of Ethan. Like, he just seems like
a nice guy who played a really hard game, you know, who had this, I mean, Ethan had his, you know, had Lex, who was this like maybe bigger, more aggressive player. That's a really good, interesting comparison.
So, like, you know, makes me happy that he won, represents Survivor well, like, wouldn't put him in the top tier of, like, incredible players.
But if Dom had won, would he be up there?
It's a good question. And I wonder if one of them had won in a different circumstance.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if there was no fire-making challenge, if it was just one of them left. I think potentially, if Wendell had been voted out of the final four instead of a fire-making, and Dom had won the final three with a sweep of the votes, which presumably he would have been. Like, yeah. I think I would be more likely, of all the possible scenarios that could have happened tonight, I think Dom has the scenario that ranks the highest. He had the highest potential to be ranked highest.
Yeah, interesting. All right, you want to read the next one?
Sure. Okay. Steven, Sophie from Faux Pas. Do I have to read them if they're not real names? Next time Jeff reads the votes on the island, then everyone knows it is a tie. Do you think they change the rules or as a precaution, have each of the final three finalists vote in a different urn for one or the other two, just in case? No, I don't think so. I was fine with them. What is this to avoid the, like, having to read some of the votes before the LA finale?
Have each of the three finalists vote in a different urn for one of the other. I don't understand this, actually.
I think this is somebody saying, like, what this way you never have to read the votes at the island. But I actually thought that was kind of nice. I liked it.
Oh, I see. Oh no, I thought that was it was a great reveal. It certainly was a great twist. Like when Jeff opened the urn, because like every season he like puts the urn down and he's like, yeah. Well, I bet you would love it if I read the votes now. And then he does. Then he opened the urn. I was like, what? You know, like I was sort of like doing the ha ha. That's hilarious. Like another good one, Jeff. You got us again. But no, then he read them. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no contingency votes. Adam Rita, I feel like I met this guy. A lot was made of the possibility of Dom giving up a spot to battle Wendell in fire. Do you think the producers would have allowed this and it would have made it better for him to make this move? What do you mean allowed it? Who's asking this question? You just give up your immunity necklace.
I do think they would have allowed it.
Came up with the idea.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, but... Yeah, it would have been. I really think. I mean, looking at back at it now, it would have been. You know, it's one of those moves that your whole legacy really hinges on. Where if you make that move, it's like the greatest play ever. And if it works, but if it doesn't work, it's the worst play ever. And you're standing up there with James and Eric talking about how traumatized you are by the entire show.
Yeah, but then you get asked back on the season of stupidest players of all time.
Yeah. What did you think of that moment? Jeff's apology.
He was apologizing that he had overlooked some of their accomplishments because of their incredible defeats. Of everything he could have. Isn't that what that was?
Well, yeah, basically. I mean, basically, it was like they were dumb moves, but they were big moves, and they were big moves because you played big, and like the only reason you were in a position for that to happen. And I think that's great that he said that.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. I'm not sure if that would have been my choice to use the time if I was the producer. Like, wow. I think that this whole season of with like all of these, you know, artifacts was so cool. I think just having them on stage was kind of awesome. Yeah. I think it would have been cooler to have more people on stage and less chat about apologies.
Yeah, James, I haven't seen or heard from James in a long while. So it was fun to see him back there, you know, just as charming as ever.
Yeah, I thought so too.
All right, AJ Mass wants to know if Seabass and Laurel stick to the plan and vote Dom, even in the face of his idle grandstand, sending him home 4-3 at final six. How does the rest of the game play out? This is a great question. I'm surprised that we haven't even talked about it yet. How does the game play out if Dom goes home with the final six? We're left with Seabass, Laurel, Angela, Donathan, and Wendell.
Wendell wins the show, right? Because either Wendell wins the final immunity challenge, or he wins the fire making.
Right. He probably still wins. Yeah, I guess so. I guess because he's still got his idol. He basically wins out in that situation because he's there at five.
Unless we underestimate just how likable Mr. Seabass is and he goes to the end with Wendell and somehow beats him because he's just such a doll.
Yeah. All right. You wanted to get this next one? Let's do one or two more and then we'll wrap up.
Wouldn't it be Joe Dingleberry? Wouldn't it be great to see a Survivor Rivals season with Dom and Chris Noble, Philip and Malcolm, Steven and Sophie, Sugar and Corinne, David and Zeke, Venus and Aris, Sandra and a baby goat, and Fishback and a stick?
Oh, wow. I finally could fight my great rivals, both Sophie and The Stick, on the same season. I've wanted a Survival Rival season. I think it would be so great. The challenge is, like, how do you, you know, you do have some of these iconic rivalries, you know, as much as you have these cursed items, like, I feel like it's more iconic what these great epic head-to-head rivalries have been. You know, we've certainly seen other shows get a lot of hay out of rival seasons. Like, The Challenge has had, like, some amazing epic rival season. I mean, the question is, like, how does that work? Are they on the same tribe? Are they not on the same tribe? Like, is there any sort of mechanic where they're linked up together? Like, how does a rival season work?
I love the idea of a rival season, because I think often with Returner season, one of the things that can, like, make them disappointing is that it doesn't feel like real life anymore. Yeah. It feels like everybody is just a game bot. And I think that people who are rivals in Survivor, like, really, like, think Sugar and Corinne, like, really hate each other.
Yeah, like, so Russell, like, and Sandra. Not that we ever want Russell back on an American version of Survivor.
Yeah. I feel like it's a way to have a Returner season, to have people make really, like, Returners tend to make bigger moves and flashier gameplay, so that's positive, while also getting that, like, still retaining that human element that I feel is sometimes missed on Returner season.
I really agree with you. I do. I think that there's, like, an element when people come back of, you know, a lot of people have been talking in advance, you know, they're all best friends, they've got their alliances, but I really agree with you that some of these deep survival rivalries, those wounds run, like, really deep, you know, and, like, people don't want to be defined by those wounds again. Like, if I would never play again, but if, like, I was out there with, like, Joe, my God, I would, you know, do everything I could to vote him out this time rather than not vote him out like last time. All right, John Densford, let's do John Densford and then one more. All right, John Densford wants to know, will Dom be the Steven to Wendell's JT? Will history ultimately prove Dom was, in fact, the better player? What do you think? Is Wendell going to dramatically screw up a couple of other seasons?
I like that you're trying to make this comparison happen so that you don't lose this spot. But Stephen, like, you lost to JT, like, 10-0, and these two were equal.
It was 7-0. No, and that proves, you know, that's true friendship, is giving him all the votes. You know, that's real friendship. okay, we've got a crazy couple of we got some exciting stuff coming on up on the RHAP world tomorrow or someday soon. We've got Josh recapping this great finale with Rob Cesternino. We will have all of Rob's exciting interviews with these final six, you know, that he's recording right now, you know, hobnobbing with all these famous people, you know, off living the good life in Los Angeles. We will have eventually we will have David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis Y blank one, which I guess will be Y Wendell one, and I'm not sure what else. Sophie, before we go, what do you think of this David versus Goliath season?
I'm too focused on Big Brother to be worried about that.
Do you like the idea of David's versus Goliath's?
I'm into it. I like themes. I feel like it's a good way to, like, remember who everybody is. I was surprised watching the preview. Maybe I missed something. I don't know if you noticed this as well, but I felt like the preview took sides. It was like, look at these Goliaths who've just had everything handed to them. And look at these Davids who have, like, secrets up their sleeves.
Right.
Like, I thought it was truly framing. Usually it's like, oh, everybody has, like, a positive trait. These people are beautiful. Isn't that nice? These people are smart. This was like, these are, like, evil assholes. And, like, look at these scrappy, like, you know, people to root for.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be really fun. It could be a really fun theme. And I mean, you know, Survivor.
I also just, like, shout out to the editors. I thought the editing on this season was really good, especially in that Chris Dom episode. I think that David Goliath might give them more opportunities to make fun of people, which I enjoy.
Well, one thing that Dalton just had this interview with Jeff and Mark Burnett, and Jeff was saying that he was inspired in that episode by the Jimmy Iovine Dr. Dre series on HBO, which is called, what is it called? Like, The Dangerous Ones or something. Anyway, he was inspired by the way that they use intercutting to create more dramatic tension and, you know, really push the show forward. So it really could, you know, they might be changing the way that they really tell these stories, and which I think is such an exciting thing. I think it's really cool. You know, they're not just, like, resting on their laurels. That, you know, Jeff especially is so open to all of these different things he's seeing and constantly thinking, like, how do we make this better? How do I take some of this and how do I take some of that? And how do I integrate that into the show to make it to improve it? So yeah, it could be a great season and, you know, always going to be a great show.
That's awesome. The other thing I wish the editors would do is I hope they go even a step further. I would love for them to take a page out of The Bachelor's playbook. I don't know if you watched the season finale of The Bachelor this year or heard about it, but the editors there took an incredible leap of faith. And there was a scene that was basically unedited that they aired just straight through a breakup of like 20 minutes with a split screen, like looks like nothing you'd seen on a reality show on television before. And I feel like Survivor is such a loyal fan base that is so interested in the show beyond what's shown, like just how it's made, that I'm kind of surprised that Jeff and people have not yet like pulled back that screen a little bit. I think we've never seen, you know, a long cut of like a scene on Survivor. Like
only the Dan Foley scene in the World's Apart finale. Yeah. Which was like, wow.
Yeah. And that was so cool. It was amazing. Right. Like I would like to see that a little more, even if it's not on the show, but even if it's just like online, like I think that the fans would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool.
Well, I agree. And Sophie, it was great to have you on this podcast, our biannual, finale wrap up. And thank you so much for being here. And, you know, everyone, thank you for listening all season long. It's been really fun to interact with people all season long, as always. And thank you so much to Rob for giving us and me this platform. And thank you to Scott St. Pierre for, you know, making everything happen. See you next season.
Thank you for letting me be an equal part of it. I love that.
Yeah. A lesser part, but a part nonetheless.
33, 33, 33.
Okay. All right. Bye.